Today I'm going to share something called faith and expectation, or faith and hope. And we all need that. But in Mark 11:22, we know the story about how Jesus cursed the fig tree the day before. And we know in this account that Peter begins to remind the master, or call him to remembrance. We could say it this way today: hey, look, you know, look what happened, kind of a thing. And of course, Peter reminding the master of the tree that he cursed the day before, he's reminding him today that, look, it's dried up from the root. And what did Jesus say at that point? He said, and Jesus answering who? Peter, saith unto them, Peter and those that were with him, the disciples. And it also, if you look at verse 16, it said the scribes and chief priests heard it. So they heard some things that Jesus shared. And so he began to say, have faith in God. And I think that's key in every area, everything that we do in life, we have to have, and that's been the theme of this message, having faith in God. If nothing else, when I get into a hard spot, when I'm walking through everything in life, I'm to do what? Have faith in God. And it talks about, in the margin here, having the faith of God, which really is what this means, but I wanted to focus in on it as far as having faith in God. But verse 23, what did Jesus go on to describe? He began to talk about and began to expound on what the faith of God was or is. And he said, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, that concludes us, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now he's talking about faith here. And shall not doubt in his heart. So that gives us a clue right here. He's talking about speaking to a mountain. And he's talking about not doubting in your heart. So where do you think faith comes from? Faith comes from the heart. Because he's saying here, don't doubt in your heart. See, so that means that faith comes from your heart, does not come from your head. It's not intellectual exercise here. Faith is something that comes from our heart. And it says here, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So faith is believing in the heart, not doubting in the heart, and believing what? Believing that those things that you say shall come to pass. So a lot of times people say, well, I knew somebody that believed just like that, and it didn't come to pass. Well, then they may have started in faith, but at some time they unhooked from faith. Because faith is what? Believing in your heart those things that God has promised, and not doubting in your heart, but believing the things that you say shall come to pass. How many, I just had a thought, how many have ever heard this saying? That person said that so much, they actually did what? We hear the world say that. That person lied so much, they actually began to believe the lie. That's this right here. Positive or negative. Good or bad. You keep saying something long enough, you will believe it. So you believe something from where? Your heart. And it could be a lie, but you actually believe it. You're convinced of it, but it ain't true. And you know it, But you got to saying it so much, you actually believed it. That's what this is saying right here. But we're not talking about something bad here that you lie and believe it. We're talking about something that God promised, that you said it and said it and affirmed it and confessed it, and you're what? Convinced. That's what believing means. That means I'm absolutely convinced that God is going to bring this to pass. But what it says here is it says, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall. What does shall mean? Shall means future, doesn't it? Shall means something that isn't. That isn't something I have. I don't have it yet. So that means I believe. But see, remember this. And we can go over there. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. And I know we've all heard these messages in various forms, but I want us to think about this today. In Hebrews 11, chapter 1. And in the King James Version, and I want to read a few other versions to kind of help this along here. But it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's kind of just what we got done reading in Mark 11 when it says, if I doubt not in my heart, but believe that those things that I say shall come to pass, I shall have whatsoever I say. Well, this says here, faith, now faith. See, say now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, something hoped for, I don't have it yet. I don't have possession of it yet. It's not visible. I don't see it. It's future. It shall be. So that means now faith. Now, if we can just get a hold of one thing, I was kind of meditating on this coming up, driving up today, and the Holy Spirit kind of, you know, the more you listen on faith, it kind of becomes revelation. You could know something, but it becomes, is there a word saying more real? It becomes realer. How's that work? It's not good English, but it's realer. That's not fishing. That's just realer. But faith is now. So I can have faith for something right now, but I don't have it yet. It shall be. It hasn't come yet. It's something hoped for. And this is where we have to walk every day, because I can believe for something right now, and I'm convinced I have it. I have. Well, of course, I can't do this because I see it. So I that's a bad example. But if I believe for something, I'll give you an example. The Lord, I don't know how many years ago, it was over 10, 12 years ago, prompted all three pastors, and we never talked about it. We just came in the office one day. I heard it in my heart. Pastor Greg heard it in his heart, and Pastor Sarah. We just happened to be in the office one day, and I said, you know, the Holy Ghost has told me we should be believing for calling in $80,000 a week. Pastor Greg said, yeah, I heard the same thing. And Pastor Sarah said, yeah, I heard the same thing. So we didn't get together and decide this. This was something the Holy Ghost spoke to us each individually. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. We had faith for that then as we do now. And we call in $80,000 and we confess that and believe that. Hope for. You don't have it yet. Does that make sense to anybody? You don't have it yet, but you've got to release faith. You've got to decree, you've got to release your faith in words for something you don't have yet. If you had it, you wouldn't need to release faith. Faith is something I believe for. See? Does everybody understand that? I believe I'm going on a trip. Let's use a natural example. I believe I'm going on a trip. I'm so confident, I bought my tickets, and I've got the tickets. So now I'm confident, and I'm now doing what? I'm expecting to go. Have I left yet? No, I didn't go on a trip yet. I'm planning for it, and I'm confident I'm going. I got the tickets. I'm expecting to go, I'm planning, I'm moving in that direction, but I haven't gone. That's a natural example. We do that every day, all the time, all the time. How much more with God? When he promises something in the Bible, and he says, you are, we just got done singing this song, you're blessed, I don't feel blessed. You don't have it yet. You may not look blessed. You may not feel blessed. You may not look blessed in the natural with the provisions that are afforded us in the covenant of Almighty God. But that's what he's promised us. So what do? We say, I believe that because I have faith in God. And because I have faith in God, I can reach out and say, he's not someone, his word says, I am not one that lies. I cannot lie. So if he can't lie, and it's written in the Bible, that's God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to me. So if it's him speaking to me, and he says, you're blessed, well, then I have to say, you know what? I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm healed. I may not look prosperous. I may not feel healed. I may not have much money. But he says, you are. And so I have to then do what? Believe God and talk like I am. Right? Because if you don't, you're going to believe what you see. It makes sense? We're to walk by what? Faith. We're to walk by what he promised and say that, not what we see. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, people can take stuff and just get off in the ditch where faith is concerned. People can get off over in the ditch and say, well, you know, such and such and such and such. There's so many people can say goofy stuff and get off in the ditch and get in trouble where faith is concerned. But I'm talking about Bible faith. And if it's something that God has promised, then we can have faith for it and we can believe for it. And we begin to do what? Release our words in that area. Just like we do when we go on a trip. You tell everybody you don't know if you bought the ticket. That don't mean you're going. You're planning to go. Some circumstance could come up that prevents you to go. Isn't that correct? And you've made the plan, you bought the tickets, you got everything going on, you're moving in that direction, and some circumstance could come up that prevents you from going on that trip. But guess what? You don't talk about the possible circumstances that could come up that prevents you from going on that trip, do you? You don't even think about it. You're like, I'm going on this trip. You don't get up in the morning and go, well, I don't know, we may not go on this trip. I'm telling you, you know, you don't talk negative. You never do. It never enters your mind. And even if a circumstance comes up, you're like, ain't no way I'm not going on this trip. We gonna find a way to go on this trip. because I paid my money. Isn't that true? Well, how much kind of moxie should we have just because you paid your money to go on the trip? Jesus shed his blood. So how much moxie should I have where that's concerned? A lot. It should be unshakable. It should be, I'm confident. God said it, and he didn't lie. Isn't that true? But we come up with all kinds of reasons why God couldn't, didn't, maybe not. It's silly, really. But what happens is our time frames are not the same as God's time frames. And so sometimes, you know, things that we can control, you know, things happen because we kind of push levers and things. But where God is concerned and faith is concerned, if I believe him and trust him for something, who said it's not coming to pass? It may not come to pass in your time schedule or time frame, but that doesn't mean it's not coming to pass. If I believe in my heart and speak it with my mouth and doubt not, the Bible is very clear. It says, I will have whatsoever I saith. Everybody got that? Now I'm going to read a few other translations. Or let me back up here. It says, now faith is the substance. I'm going to cover one point here. Faith is the substance of things, this is the King James Version, hoped for. Now let me ask this question. What is things? Things is stuff. Things is stuff, right? What is stuff? What stuff? What things? Because it says here, now faith is the substance of things. I heard somebody down in Nanuet say this. They said, well, things is all things. I said, really? All things? I said, are all things promised us in the covenant that we have with Almighty God? I don't think so. So all things are not the substance of something hoped for. I think things are things that are promised by God in the covenant of God for me. That I can have faith for. Because when we talk about things, if it says the faith is the substance of things, then faith, if it's faith, it has to come from something that is promised in the Word of God. So it can't be all things. It has to be something that's in the Word, and it has to be promised by God. That's what creates faith, right? Not all things. Because bad things, I don't have faith for that. I resist it in Jesus' name. Amen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now listen to some of these other translations. It kind of expands this King James Version. This is the Berkeley translation. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. I like that. Faith forms a solid ground for something hoped for. Now, we talk about solid ground, we're standing on it. So that means this faith is like, your faith is like this solid ground that I'm standing on, and I can put something on top of it. I'm so convinced of this solid ground, I can put these chairs on it and sit on it. I can put this desk on it, and I'm not worried about whether or not this underneath is going to support it, right? So I can hope for something, but what supports it, what gives me the conviction that I can have it is my faith. See that? Faith is the substance, the solid ground for something I hope for. So the Bible says, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took our sicknesses and our sins, and it says, we have been healed. Well, that's something that I can have faith for. I can release my faith, my words in that particular area, and I'm convinced of it. And I'm expecting my body to be restored of something. Right? That's what faith is. And it says here that hope rests on this solid ground. This is another translation. It's called the Authentic. Now, faith forms, it's similar to what I just read, but a little different. Now, faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities. So it says, faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. So what does that mean? That means my faith is a conviction of something that I believe. Right? And I'm expecting, let's use a natural example. How many in here are married? Some are married. So you were, before you got married, I hope you were convinced that you were supposed to marry that person. If you were convinced that you were supposed to marry them, then you had faith for it supported your expectation or your hope. It wasn't just, I sure hope to get married to that person. No, I'm convinced they're the right person, and I have hope, I have an expectation, right? So what happened? That means that your expectation rested upon and was supported by your conviction. Does that make sense? You just didn't have an expectation because you could have been very disappointed when that person said, uh-uh. So nobody was convinced. You were convinced, but the other person wasn't. So your hopes just got dashed, as they say. Right? So that's a natural example. But maybe not a good one, but it in other words, things that you hope for have to be based upon faith. So in other words, hope, the way the world uses it, how many people have heard this? I sure hope so. I sure hope, I'm a hoping and a praying. I sure hope I get that job. Well, that could be more described as desire. I desire to have that. So they've muddied up the word hope, but Bible hope is not not desire. It's expectation. I'm expecting this to come to pass because I've got this. And because I have this, I'm expecting to do this. So the world uses it like a desire. I hope to do this. But they're not convinced, right? They're just hoping it happens. But they're not convinced. But when God shares something in the Word of God and faith comes, I'm convinced, I'm assured, and because of that, that which I'm convinced of, I'm looking for it to come to pass. That's Bible hope. That means what God promised, I have conviction for. I'm absolutely convinced of this, and because of that which he spoke, I can have it, and I'm looking for it to come to pass. That is what we call Bible hope, supported by faith, right? So, let me read another translation. This is one called the Knox translation. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us. What convinces us? Our faith convinces us of things we cannot see. I like that. So what it says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes and which convinces us of things we cannot see. That's a little different than the way people use it in society today. I'm just hoping this happens. No, this says here, faith convinces us of things we're hoping for. So it's not, gee, I hope this comes to pass. No, you're convinced because of your faith, and it gives substance to and convinces you of things you hope for. What is it that you hope for? Things that God promised. Yeah. So those are the kind of things. This is where faith is. Let me read another one. This is called the good speed. It says, faith means the assurance of what we hope for. It is our conviction about things we cannot see. So there's things that when God says he'll provide everything that we need, think about Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means put him first in everything we do. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. It says, why do we don't fret and worry like the world does about what we'll eat, what are we going to be clothed with, what are we going to have over our head and all of this. So he said, seek him first, put him first. Does that mean be negligent and not have a job? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means don't be concerned about all of your daily necessities. Put him first, and you do what? You have faith for that, and you begin to, when things don't look like your needs are being met, when things don't look like you have this or you have that, we're not to be anxious about that, but we're to say, God, you said in your word, such and so. You said you would meet all of my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the natural, it doesn't look like it, but I believe you. And I believe every one of my needs are being met because I'm seeking you first in my thinking. What does it say? It says, over in Proverbs, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. I forget what chapter it's in. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will establish your thoughts. So if your thoughts are all on, I got to work, I got to do this, I got to do this, and you're not putting him first, you're not trusting him to meet all of your needs. Now, I'm not saying don't go to work. I'm not saying that, so don't get off in the ditch with that. But we're saying you go to work. But if you never think about him, if you never trust him, I know for me, I went through a period of my life and I had to work a couple of jobs. I was working two jobs, long hours. And I remember I started working and the Holy Ghost one time, I had some obligations, financial, and had bill collectors calling. So it was a tense time in my life, very tense. Had multiple things, these jokers calling during the daytime, cursing me out on the phone. I wanted to reach through and grab his neck. And I'm one of them, I almost did. I went down, I said, who is this? They were cursing me on the phone. Now the laws have changed, this was years ago, and this person was cursing me out just royally on the phone. Boy, it didn't go well. And I was getting upset by the second. How dare you curse at me on the phone? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, what's your name? Gave me some phony name. I said, where are you at? Because I'm going to come down and whoop your so-and-so. I did. And so I'm the one that owes them money. They're the bill collecting agency. So I marched right on down there. And I was going to take a pop at somebody for cursing me. I was upset. And so I walked in, I said, where is this so-and-so? And of course, they don't use their real names. And the guy, I'm sure, you know, I'm not the first one that marched through the door to take a swing at somebody. And he said, we'll see you in court. And my mama didn't raise me stupid, and I'm thinking, let me think about this. I'm in debt, I owe money, and I take a swing at somebody and hit somebody, and I'm more in debt. So let's just suck it up and say thank you very much and leave, and let's just pay this off and settle down, which is what I did. But they've changed the laws since then. They can't do those kind of things. And but the whole point of that story was that during that time, I was working a couple of jobs to meet these obligations, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I don't want you working that second job. I want you to go to Wednesday night Bible study. Now, you know, you hear people say, get thee behind thee. Because I said, wait a minute, Lord, that don't even make any sense. I said, here I've got bill collectors calling, and you want me to quit this job and go to work, go to Bible study. Yes. So I did. And I had to do that by faith because in the natural, it didn't look good. And I had obligations and bill collectors calling, which continued to call. And so I had to, at that point, make a choice. And my choice was to have faith in God. And that's what I did. I began to release my words and say, okay, Lord, I trust you to resolve this. I put this in your hands. I'm not going to be anxious about this. I can't make this go away. I can't fix this, but you can. And I'm going to trust you to do that and meet my need. That's meeting your need. And so little by little, the bill collectors that called, I was waiting for another, you know, as they say, what for over the phone. Get another tirade of words. And so, one by one, little by little, things began to change because of my trust in God. And people would call and say, oh, no, that bill collector's been removed from this case. This was a real sweet lady. And she'd say, oh, no, you just send us what you can afford. I said, done. And so little by little, things began to ease because I took a step of faith, and in the natural, it looked crazy to do that, but God said, do it. And so that's what I'm talking about, having faith not only in something God has spoken to us in his word, but when he gives you instructions, you take a step of faith. It may not look good to do that in the natural, but we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And I'm expecting a change, which is what I did at that point, because I could not fix it, and I needed his assistance. So faith, again, faith is now, hope is in the future. Faith gives or is the solid ground or the assurance or confidence of those things that you're hoping for. Things you expect to come to pass. And the expectation, think about this, the expectation is not separated from your faith. You have faith in something that God promised. You have assurance and confidence of something that God promised. And that's what I'm expecting to come to pass, right? I don't have it yet, but I'm convinced it's going to come. That's faith and hope. So again, let's look at verse 11. I want to look at something here in chapter 11 of Hebrews. It says, through faith, this is in chapter 11, verse 11 of Hebrews. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. How did she do that? Through faith. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So she was, through faith, and of course we could go over, I'm not going to do it now, but you go over to Genesis and read that story. But this says here that through faith, something God promised, she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child past age. So that's something that was to come, something she hoped for. So something future tense, right? Same thing. Now verse 20, if you look at verse 20, in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to what? To come. So how did he do that? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So he blessed them. He released some words. And it says here, he did that by faith, and concerning things to come, or you could say things hoped for. Verse 21, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons. Blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let me see, there's another, what was the other one? Yeah, go back to verse 7. You can see there in verse 7. Let me jump back here. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of what? Of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So by faith, Noah, well, how did the faith come? It says being warned of God of things not yet seen or not seen as yet. So what did he do? He moved with fear, he moved with reverence, and it said he prepared an ark. So the same with us. There's things that God has promised in his word. Faith comes, and it is the solid ground on which our hope or our expectations come or rest. So if you see somebody with faith, somebody that's in faith, you'll see hope. You won't see a hopeless person. When you see somebody that's hopeless, most often they have no faith. There's no faith. And you can tell sometimes somebody's hopeless by how? How would you tell somebody's hopeless? Most times by how they talk. You can go into certain societies, you can go into certain areas, and it's a grip in that society where things aren't going too well, and they are what? Hopeless. And they talk that hopelessness. They talk about it. They meditate on it. We're not going anywhere. We can't have this. We can't do this. And yet, God, all those conditions could be around us. All those conditions we could live right in the middle of. But this says here that faith, where does faith come from? Faith comes from something that's in God's word, that's been promised and bought for by the blood of Jesus. that's promised us. So it doesn't matter what my conditions are around me. I can have faith in God. And he said what? Don't doubt, but believe that the things that you say, what am I saying? I'm saying what God's promised me. And that gives the solid ground on which I can expect something to come to pass. So it really doesn't matter what the conditions are around me. It does not matter. Now God, you see, that's the thing. If God doesn't want you in the middle of those circumstances, he's either going to have you do one of two things. He's either going to have you be an agent of change and cause you to change all of those circumstances or pray about it, or he'll have you leave it and remove it, get out of the middle of it, right? He's either going to do one of two things. He's either going to have you become something in the middle of that where people will go, hey, what's with that person over there? How come they're prospering? How come they're, and you become someone that causes or instigates change in the middle of something. You could do that on your job or in where you live, in your neighborhood. Or he have you leave, one or the other. The steps, what does the Bible say? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So he directs our steps. Hallelujah. So this word hope, if you look it up in a Bible dictionary, it means favorable and confident expectation. So something that if I hope for, it's favorable, confident expectation. I'm confident, my expectation is confident. So these are things that are good, something coming to pass. Now, I want to look at this for a few minutes, and then we'll close. But go to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to look at this. In verse 22 and 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. See, we always say this, and it's good to say, the Bible, let's say that, the Bible is God speaking to me. So when you hear somebody say, well, God doesn't speak to me, and you can say, well, he speaks to me all the time. And they go, really? Yeah, in the Bible. That's how he speaks to us. It's his last will and testament to us. It's God breathed and God speaking to me. And I like what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said, this is God speaking to me. And if he's got anything else to say to us, he'll say it to us by his spirit. And would always say this. Brother Hagin would say this through his 60 plus years of ministry. He would say that the primary way that God speaks to us is right here in his word. This is the primary way that God speaks and reveals himself to us is in the word of God. And yes, he does lead us because the Bible says that in Romans, that God leads his children. He speaks to us. But the primary way that he reveals himself to us and speaks to us and unfolds his very nature to us is right here. So that ought to be key in our daily life, is that we feed upon this, because how are we going to know him? Right here. Some folks think I'm going to know God through, you know, they say, well, let's go out in the stars and all of that. Okay. And look at God in nature. Well, you will, but the primary way that you're going to know him is reading his word. And that's how you're going to have faith come and confidence in God. So, you get to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. It says, I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." This is what faith is, full assurance of faith, "having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now, when you look up this word faith in verse 23, when it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith," if you look that up, any Bible student, and I'm going to read from two other translations that support this, that word faith translated in the Greek really means hope. So if you read this, let me read this from the New International Version. This would be considered a more modern translation. Verse 23. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Now that makes that's a little bit different. "For he who promised is faithful." The New Living Translation, in verse 23, it says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm." Well, how do you hold tightly to something that you affirm? Faith. Faith is convinced of something I hope for. And this says, hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Well, when you're convinced of something, what does faith do? Faith believes and doubts not. And it says, when I believe and doubt not, I shall have the things spoken. That's your hope, affirming something, is it not? It's the same thing. When you look at Mark 11:23 and you look at these scriptures, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But that conviction, that faith, causes my hope to affirm something. I'm so convinced that my hope is saying, I got this, I believe I have this. My hope is affirming something I'm convinced of. Faith is convinced of something. See? Does any of this register on you at all? If it doesn't, keep meditating on it, and it will. It'll dawn on you. So it means hold fast to the confession of our hope. That's what this scripture is saying. Let us hold fast, this is the King James, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Or you could take that out and change that because it's really accurate. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, which is what the New Living Translation says. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So something that God has promised, when faith comes, you're convinced. You're absolutely convinced. Because what does the word say? Now faith is. When is faith? Now. And it has substance. It's a real thing. Faith comes, you're convinced. And it says it causes your expectations to work. In other words, that conviction of something that came through the word of God causes your hope to be active. And when your hope, when your faith is active, it gives substance to your hope. And you do what? You are to hold tightly, this is what it says, hold tightly without wavering, no doubting, no doubting, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Here's something I will share because you some may have experienced this. I'll close with this thought. When it comes to faith and hope, you may have experienced this not personally, but maybe you know of someone. It can happen, I've seen it happen where finances are concerned. More often I see it where health is concerned. Sometimes people, even though they're going through tough things where finances are concerned, they still have their health and their wherewithal, and they kind of, they may muddle through, but they're still alive. You understand my point? When it comes to health, though, it's a different story. People have various conditions. They may start out in faith, and they may have hope, and they're expecting God to work in this situation, either through the doctors, either through whatever process they're going through. They're trusting God to work in this, in the middle of this situation. And what happens a lot of times, we've seen this, I've seen this, I've heard it, experienced it. When individuals reach a point that they don't see a change, more often than not, I hear this: I'm just tired. I want to go home. I don't want to fight this anymore. So, I've heard it with many people. And what happens is, if we're interacting with people like that, you need to understand that there needs to be a way to, if that person, like this says here, let us hold tightly without wavering. That's talking about faith. Without wavering to what? The hope that we affirm. So what can happen is that people get weary. They get weary in standing. And they begin to loosen this grip where it says hold tightly. They begin to loosen this grip because they don't see something changing. And they get weary. Is their faith working? Most times, yes, their faith is working. And I don't know, because each situation is different. But what happens is, Pastor Sarah saw it with Pastor Clinton. We've seen it with others. They get in a place where they get tired and they just let go. They let the grip go. And I'm not saying that's in all cases, but the ones that I've seen, they let loose. Now, they go to heaven. They're in heaven. That's a good thing. And so we thank God for that. But I'm just looking at it here, and that when we minister in those areas and we interact with folks, we need to find a place that we can connect if a person is getting weary. We need to find a place that we can connect with their what? With their heart. Because most times people, if you talk to them, they really don't want to leave and go to heaven, not right then, and they want to stay. So you need to find a place. Don't try to preach scripture to people. Try to find a place that they can connect with their heart so that faith can come, so they can connect, hook back up again. Does everybody understand that? Because we can get weary, even ourselves. And somebody can come into our lives and share something that just kind of stirs us. And we go, oh, boy, what was I thinking? Let me hook up here and stand against this. And sometimes we can get weary in our walk with God, and we need to find a place that stirs our heart, because that's where faith comes. That's where we can let go from, too. How do we mean by that? It says, if we believe and do what? Doubt not. So the minute we begin to question and doubt, we're losing our grip. We let go. We lose grip on something. So we have to, either personally or interacting with folks, when we see that somebody's not as confident as they are in a particular area, we need to help them grip back up again. Hold tightly to what? And without wavering, to the hope we affirm. See? And that helps us. That helps me. And it's also, when it comes to your convictions, what you say, I'll say it this way, are you convinced about the things that you say? Because if you're so-so about things that you talk and say, then maybe you're not in faith. See, faith is convinced. That means I don't care. Stuff can be going all around you, and you're like, you're so convinced, it's like, we got this. We got this. And this isn't head, this is in your heart. This is something that you're convinced in your heart. So, to wrap this up, faith is the substance, it's the solid ground on which my hope and expectations come from. See? So there's important when it comes to faith in God, we talk about having faith in God, my faith comes because of something he's promised, and I'm convinced of it, and it gives substance, it gives support to, and assurance to, the things I hope for. And those things I hope for are things that are from the Word of God or supported by it, right? If God says, there's nothing wrong, I mean, think about it. We could come up with a laundry list. I desire a better job. Well, that's a good desire. I want a better job. I want, my needs met. I tell you, sometimes it was like the thing that the Holy Spirit spoke to me years ago, many, many years ago, in a time of prayer. He said, if you will work the Word of God in the area of finances, like you're working the Word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That's what the Holy Ghost said to me. So right away, I knew exactly what he meant to me. He said it in a way that I would understand. And the first thing that came to my mind was I'm not doing what I'm not doing like I'm doing in the area of healing, speaking and releasing words, constantly releasing words over my body to maintain health. But I was not doing that in the area of finances. I was not convinced. I was not releasing or affirming my hope. So what did I start doing? The minute he spoke that, I began to speak and become, because faith came then when he spoke that to me. I began to meditate in the scriptures, financial scriptures, And I began to speak those and affirm those, like the scripture said. I began to release my words. And so, little by little, over time, see, I think sometimes, here's another thing to keep in mind. I'll close with this thought. I said I was going to do that, but here's one more thought. Sometimes we tell God, God, I want it this way. I want it just like this. God knows you better than you. And so sometimes when we tell God how we want it, how it should come to pass, he never promised that. He said, you know, thus and so in the Bible. I'll meet your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's not the how. That's not how it's going to come. That's up to him how he opens the door to fulfill that. But what we need to do is be convinced that God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and do what? Affirm that. Say it. With conviction, knowing it's going to come to pass, and then what? As I say that, it's God's responsibility then to lead me. And to guide me into that and do what? Fulfill it. Fulfill that which I'm speaking. So it says it comes to pass, but we don't have to say, I want such and so and such and so. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with believing God for a house or believing God for a car. You may even want a specific car. There's nothing wrong with that. But God will meet those needs and lead you and guide you to something that in a lot of ways, when we start trying to define certain things, God can do things over and above what you could even ask, think, or imagine. And when you say, I want this, and he goes, I'll give you that, but I was willing to give you this. See, and sometimes our minds are so low that he's trying to get us over here. And so just let him lead you into the good, the over and above that which you could think or ask, right? Just say, I'm blessed. My bank accounts are full. My body is strong. And so let him lead you, but just affirm, be convinced that he will do it, and affirm that. Now, if God puts it in your heart to believe for something specific, then you do that. But I've learned that I'm going to believe for something that I need, and if he tells me to believe for something specific, I'll do that. But other than that, what does the scripture say? We don't even know how to pray for things as we ought. We think we do. We think, I want this. Well, okay. I'm going to let God fulfill the desires of my heart. Right? Praise God. So what is faith? Faith is now, but hope is future. Hope, look, if hope comes an hour from now, it's still future. If hope comes in 5 minutes from now, it's still future. Faith is now, and it creates the substance or the ground on which my expectations work. Amen. Anybody get anything? Anybody feed on this? I'll tell you, it helps me. Because this is where we live. This is how we operate all the time. This is how we talk. This is how we believe. We believe what God has promised. Look, you got, if I asked you what things you're believing God for, you should be thinking about that. Not just, well, I don't know. Man, you're thinking too small. Because when God said to me, if you'll do this, you won't have room enough to contain it. That's a big God that can supply big dreams, not just to me, but the whole body of Christ, right? So if you're have faith in God, you ought to have a dream list, a hope list, right, of things you're trusting him for and affirming him for. Amen. I am. Glory to God. I'm, you know, like Brother Hagin said, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than believe them for nothing and get them all. So you got to have something. Set the bar high. Set it high. Set it out where you go and you look at that list and go, man, there ain't no way I could make that happen. That's way out there. Set it. That pleases God. Amen.